Welcome to the One Fall Podcast. I'm your host, Joel Johnson. Today, we may be without Josh, but we are with Mo. I forgot your last name, your nickname, because of we removed the crown the last time, and I wasn't sure what the rest of the words were, so I just went with Mo. I hope you're okay with that.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't have a new nickname yet. I don't want to have anything to do with Jewel in my title for a while, or crown, or anything like that, which is too bad, because it was the Crown Prince of Charisma.
It was a good one.
We can't use crown now. Yeah, it was great. I came up with it myself, and a lot of people call me the Family Jewels. So we had a couple, you know, both are out the window.
Blood money really takes away nicknames, doesn't it?
Yeah, I really think that that's the thing that we need to come out of this talking about, is more that how this is affecting me personally more than anybody else.
Oh yeah, this is the main focal point, is how this plays into the life of Mo.
That's what I think.
I absolutely agree. Where do you want to start with the Saudi Arabia story?
What is most on your mind about it? As
we are a couple days away, I think the first thing I want to talk about is who's not going. And that's John Cena and Daniel Bryan, reportedly. As we're recording, the SmackDown Live is going on, so we could be way wrong and find out later on.
The reports earlier today, though, stated that he's not going. And I do wonder if there's going to be a last minute, you know, anybody else. That is very, very interesting for sure.
Yeah, because I mean, hypothetically, I think we've already seen who's replacing Cena, and we'll talk about Cena's choice to not go and your thoughts on it. But I think it's interesting because Bryan was always one that had been rumored he didn't want to go. He just didn't want to go. And then they kind of built to Crown Jewel, and everyone's like, okay, well, this is it. He's going to Crown Jewel. And then it comes out today, Daniel Bryan's not going to Crown Jewel. Do you think this is going to have lasting impact on his booking, or how the company sees him moving forward, for him not going?
Normally I'd say yes. I think the fact that he stayed when he could have left might give him a little bit of leniency. Undoubtedly, he did that largely for Brie. You know, I think more than himself, is kind of what we've seen with Brie and her spots and her career. I really think it's probably more to do with that.
Yeah.
You know, but I'd say the fact that this is a guy with options that they really didn't want to lose, I think probably he'll get away with it without too much negative stuff. I think it depends, though, on how other people in the locker room react to him, if they're with him or against him, if other people want to leave, if there's any snowball effect from this stuff for the next Saudi Arabia. It's too early to tell. But that's kind of my thing, is I do think that he probably is in one of the few guys in a position that could get away with this.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's one guy that, when you look at just all the talk, I think he was the biggest contract that everyone was talking about, speculating heading into this year. And then when he got cleared, it became an even bigger thing of like, okay, well, what's he going to do? And the fact that he re-signed with them, and I think he signed a two-year deal with them, two or three-year deal.
That's what I was going to ask, was how long was he signed in for? Because that's a really big thing. Because the wrestling industry, and I'm sure we'll get into this some, the landscape is changing. And we can't see where the landscape is 2 years from now. And that's not even including the Fox deal. That's outside of the WWE. It's changing, and it's going to affect what happens in the WWE and this and that. Like, it's going to be – these are interesting times, my friend.
Yeah, this is a great time to have a wrestling podcast, because it's kind of neat to have it kind of documented as time goes on. Like, I've gone through the old One Fall and even the We Talk Wrestling, and just the different points in history that are covered. And it's just really fascinating now with how – accessible information for wrestling is, between the Squared Circle subreddit, just Twitter, Facebook, just everything. Seems you can find out what you want to know about wrestling very easily, And it's just everything seems to be so well documented that I think it's going to be very hard for WWE to ever whitewash certain things, like the Saudi show in a couple of years. I don't think they're ever going to be able to just put a nice little polish on it. I think there's too much information out there about it that's just not going to look good for them long term.
Yeah, it's going to be I'm wondering, like, we'll see what happens with this deal. We'll see the stock price falling, you know, $30 from where it once was. That costs them. That's got to be costing you more money than you're making, at least from this particular show.
Yeah. Absolutely. Because this show is only what, $2-3 million profit for them.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, if they drop it, will they leave it, these things on the WWE network, or will they pull it? You know, if the deal doesn't go through, like, there's a lot of moving parts from this that we won't know for a long, long time. There is a lot of negative press, and John Oliver, obviously, and others, for WWE going. This is nothing. 1 week from today, after they've actually gone, and people start reporting it who've been ignoring it, that's when the shit hasn't even hit the fan yet, is what I'm saying. That's the thing that people have to realize.
Oh, yeah. Once they have video clips of them there, and God forbid they have any sound bites where they talk about Saudi Arabia being a progressive show, because then it becomes skewered.
And it becomes, holy shit, they actually went. I didn't think they were actually going to go, because there's that out there right now. And once that happens, it's going to get even worse. So which I don't think they realize, but then again, they're in a bubble, right?
Yeah. As I believe it was Dave Meltzer reported that, Vince doesn't even think about the global impact of this. It's just all about him.
Yeah.
It's him and the WWE. How does this impact them and the WWE? It's not about the journalist thing. I dare say it doesn't even pop up on Vince's radar.
There's a reason why Vince and Donald Trump are such good friends. There's some of that mindset of not understanding your effect on the greater world.
Yeah.
Right. That is part of what they both have. You know, the consequences. Yeah. The consequences have, or actions have consequences. You know, like we saw with these stuff, Trump, just the things he said, riling up somebody to the point where he wanted to send out bombs. And it's not saying that he's responsible for this person being a sick and twisted individual, but your consequences, your words of actions. And the same thing with WWE and Vince McMahon. And I don't think he believes or realizes that either. So it's going to be interesting.
It's going to be interesting. And I mean, the other flip side to all this is,
wouldn't it be more fun to be talking about that great 5-star match? Sorry. Because we're not. And I don't think we'll be talking about any of that come this show.
No. No. Everything is going to get glossed over. And it's the focal point is on this show. This show is a big deal.
I meant this podcast, but this show too.
Yeah.
we'll be talking. If Kurt Angle and Seth Rollins meet and have a 4.5-star, 5-star classic, whatever, nobody, it'll be lost.
Yeah. If Almost is the one to replace Brian, and it's Brian, Almost and AJ, and they have a great match, no one's going to care about that.
Nobody will care.
Because it won't matter. I mean, we know how DX and the Brothers of Destruction are going to play out. I really don't want to talk. I don't want to hype this show up. It doesn't deserve to be hyped.
No.
It deserves to just be kind of like, oh, it was there. Like, one of the other points you mentioned about them potentially dropping it from the network, one of the things that always stood out to me the greatest Royal Rumble that they ran was how quickly they dropped that title and that trophy of the winning the world's greatest Royal Rumble. It just all disappeared right away. Like, Braun had the green title, and then he didn't, and no one ever talks about it.
That's true.
And it's it shows that they at least have some common sense to be kind of like, we got to drop this, because it dropped right away. And I think there was.
No, we don't know the reason for that. I mean, you might be giving them too much credit.
That it could absolutely just
could be something completely not at all. You know,
Vince doesn't like the color green.
Like, it could be anything.
Yeah. And that's absolutely a good point. What do you think of Cena dropping out of it? Because he took you, if you saw the John Oliver piece and they talk about him wanting not wanting to take a big PR hit, is this just a PR thing? Would Cena be there if there was no pressure on him?
I don't think it's a moral thing for John Cena. I think honestly, I really don't. I've seen no evidence that John Cena thinks in any way very differently from Vince McMahon. Like, I've seen that with Dwayne Johnson. I've seen that with Mick Foley. I haven't seen, like John Cena's the company man who will say and do whatever every time, popular or not. And so the only reason he's doing it is because he has these Hollywood people who are saying to him, you don't want to do this right before Bumblebee comes out. Like, that's what it is to me.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that there's definitely a it's not John Cena standing up to the machine. It's I don't want to screw with my Hollywood spot. And
yeah, and I have other options. I don't have to do this. Yeah. So I was doing you a favor. I'm doing you a favor most of the time when I'm doing anything for you now. Don't screw with me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess my other question is, do you think this hurts? Because we know how things played out between Rock and Vince when Rock went Hollywood. Does the same thing happen to Cena in this situation?
I think it's very different. One of the things that, number one, they've been through it now. Number two, they were getting producer's credit, executive producer's credit, producer's credits on the Rock's films. But there's more, at least at this point, we haven't seen, like Dwayne Johnson, like his people told him, no, you can't say you can't keep going back. He wanted to. He didn't want to leave.
Yeah.
When he said he would be gone for years, and now he's been gone for years again, coincidentally, and he said he's never leaving again, but let's not get into it. When he went, I mean, his people were saying, don't bring it up. You changed your name from The Rock to Dwayne Johnson. He lost a lot of size and weight. You know, he was doing different roles. Like, it wasn't until he had an action movie type thing and he put some size back on and it was good for his career to go back that he went back. Like, he distanced himself from it. I don't think John Cena is ever going to distance himself in that same way, which is part of John Cena's problem with Dwayne Johnson at the time, if you'll remember, in the real-life heat. Like, I don't think he's ever going to do that, but maybe his people will convince him to do that. He's already smaller. You know, he's already lost a lot of size. We'll see. I don't have the feeling that it's the same thing. I also think the fact was that they weren't sure they weren't grooming anybody to replace The Rock. So it really hit them hard. Whereas they were definitely been grooming somebody to replace Cena for a while. It feels like they're more involved in his transition to Hollywood, whereas The Rock just happened so quickly he had to go with it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't blame Rocky. I've always been a Rock fan, and I not to get too far into it, but I remember hearing of his plan of coming being more or less a part timer and doing Mania and wanting to wrestle the likes of Flair. I think Mysterio was one, and then he wanted to do something with Macho Man, and Vince and them were like, nope, we're not doing it. And God, I wish they had done something, because I think that would have been a really neat thing for Rocky, and I think that would have been eventually that would have ended. But I think in that time you could have had some really memorable moments, and you could have still used The Rock. But
and again, you got to keep in mind the jealousy, the real life jealousy and dislike that Hunter had for The Rock, and Hunter is a very powerful guy, was real. He doesn't have that really in the same way with Cena because of, you know, their history together is very different.
Yeah. And I mean, the other big thing with all of this is you see Hunter's jealousy with Dave Bautista and how that played out for Dave.
Yeah, absolutely. And just
how they thought Guardians of the Galaxy was going to be a nothing movie when it turned out to be a big deal, and they could have cashed in on that hard because Dave still wanted to do stuff for them. Pissed that away because to me, just plain old jealousy of, because I remember hearing rumors that Hunter had gone for the Thor role and he'd gone for a few other roles and it just never worked out. That's the one thing Hunter
would you cast Hunter over Chris Hemsworth?
Oh God, no, no, not in a million years. No,
he was in Blade. He definitely tried for Thor. Like he thought he could do it too. He couldn't. He couldn't do what John Cena's doing. And John Cena will never be near the level of The Rock.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Even The Rock, people forget about how long it took him for him his career to really take off. It wasn't until he was in an ensemble film in Fast and the Furious that his career hit the next level. Until then, he was doing movies like Doom that were bombs. Like he had a lot of bombs.
Oh yeah, he has been through a lot for box office wise. If you go through his IMDb, you can tell he has been through a lot. And that's why when he releases movies like Skyscraper that are just mindless movies where, yeah, no, don't have to do a lot of thinking. Things are going to explode and Rock will ultimately save the day. I'm perfectly okay going and watching and supporting because I like the guy. And for the most part, I enjoy what he puts out. It's just mindless fun that you can kind of turn your brain off and just watch.
Sometimes you want a popcorn movie. I mean, there's nothing wrong with a popcorn movie. Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, it's absolutely worthwhile to go to the occasional popcorn movie. It's going to be interesting to see how all this plays out behind the scenes. This is one thing. Wrestling is that one of those few things that you're almost more interested in what's happening behind the scenes than you are in ring.
Almost always.
And I'm just fascinated now by these dynamics because no one's going to go up to Cena and say, hey, you didn't go. Why didn't you go to Saudi Arabia? No one's going to talk to Cena like that. And I don't think anyone's really going to be bothered by Brian going. But if they are, it'd be interesting to hear why they're bugged by it, why they aren't happy. But I do wonder if Brian has built up a lot of respect in that locker room with everything
he has. He has. But locker rooms are funny. The way they've behaved over the years is funny. Now this is a different locker room. This isn't a locker room that's where they had people who were, you know, involved in Monday Night Wars or anything. It's a different locker room, but still, I mean, people like they might resent, oh, you abandoned us, you didn't go with us, or why did you get to not go? What makes you so special? Or it might be, you know, or it might be a lot of, oh man, I wish I could have been with you. Thanks for setting the precedent. Like, it could split a locker room. We don't know. Like it's a real weird thing. Even if they don't dislike, or take it out on Ryan personally, they could take it out on the politics of it. I don't know. Yep. It used to be the historically wrestling, including the WWE, has been the locker room has been a conservative, Republican, haven. Like it's been historically. That's shifting. You're sensing that shift as well, and it's clearly shifting.
Oh yeah.
I don't know how much it's shifted, but it's getting there. But you know, so that's the difficulty. I don't know how much it has shifted.
Yeah, because I mean, you know, just based on social media, and nothing against the people that you can have your political views, and you can support who you want to support, as long as they're not preaching kill all these people or anything that's evil atrocity. We know that Orton is a Republican. We know that AJ has very conservative beliefs. So it's going to be interesting to see how you have those reactions from guys like that, because they are higher up in the totem.
Well, having conservative beliefs isn't the same as being Republican.
That's true.
Kane is technically, I mean, he's a libertarian who's the Republican, you know, mayor of Knoxville, right? Like, yeah. So, I mean, you can be a religious and conservative human being there'll be some things that the Democrats would be into that I'm sure you would disagree with, but there'd be other things that I'm sure you would agree with. It's a complicated issue. Human beings are complicated.
It absolutely is. It's going to be interesting to see, because we have heard guys like JBL come out and say, and I think we had Randy Orton come out and say, yeah, no, no problems going to Saudi Arabia.
Randy Orton's doing he doesn't give a shit about anybody but Randy Orton, and he's a company man. Oh, and yeah. JBL's the same thing. I mean, you know.
And you really see that. Who's the company man and who's not the company man? Like, The Miz is going to go. He's a company man. I don't know if Miz wants to go, but...
Who knows?
I'd be interested to hear on who doesn't want to be there. who is has no well, interest in
and,
being involved.
And the rumor has been that a lot of people don't want to be there, right? That there's a lot of people in the locker room, both production staff, you know, wrestlers and referees that don't want to go, but they feel they don't have a choice.
Well, it just to let you know, it looks like AJ and Brian had their match.
That's an interesting way to do it.
Yeah, so they've already had it, and Brian tapped to AJ.
So I guess we got our...
So, and that, someone that, has popped I don't know up.
I don't know that it's punishment, but it's something.
Yeah, and I it's think talent. I know who's challenging for the title. It looks like Joe did a run-in.
Oh, I thought Joe was hurt, so...
Yeah, well, I thought Bobby Lashley was hurt, but clearly... It looks like Joe came out and attacked, so that's who's going to be going after AJ.
Well, Bobby Lashley is not hurt. He's hurting. There's a difference. Yeah. He wasn't injured and out, but he's in chronic pain. He's got nagging injuries, whereas Joe actually I thought was out.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. Like, that's what I'd read.
And so they're back to that for the millionth time, and I'm not surprised Joe would go, but... You know.
No, I'm not either. And I mean,
I can't say it makes me want to see the show.
No,
I can't say I'm planning to watch the show.
I'm kind of lucky right now is I'm working overnights when this is all going on. So I kind of am going to be busy. So I'd have to watch the show on replay, and I probably won't watch the show on replay.
No, I honestly, I'm like even without the political stuff, the WWE is pretty close to losing me, honestly. Like, it's weird, but like it's TakeOver and NXT. And that's what's I'm holding on by a thread here. And I feel like I could get that elsewhere. And it's getting really close. The booking alone is enough to not make me interested.
Yeah, right? Booking
nevertheless,
is...
then you throw this on top.
I'm interested to see, because it was a meh Raw this week. I watched a good chunk of Raw. But it feels like they had a chance to kind of capitalize on some of the interest generated from Roman's announcement and just the general, you know, almost the open free range style thing that they've got where anything can happen now. It's not all going to be built around Roman. It's now there's a lot of other moving parts, but it just felt very flat and boring.
Okay. And I can tell you, I'll tell you something. I don't know. Like I say, I measure this every week. A lot of people don't. Show went 3 hours and 6 minutes. Okay. There was 43 minutes of wrestling. 8 minutes of the wrestling occurred during commercial break, leaving 35 minutes of a 3-hour and 6-minute show of wrestling. Of that, some of that was like Elias versus Ginger, so it wasn't good wrestling. So for me, I'm not watching that.
Yeah, those are not good numbers. And like I look at, I don't know if you saw Evolution at all, but
I'm afraid. Like I say, and I want the women to succeed, but I don't want WWE to succeed. So all it is for me, NXT TakeOver. I might watch that Hardy's Halloween special.
Like I might as well.
Crazy like that.
I haven't seen that yet. I watched Evolution because I had a point where I'm like, well, I'm not doing anything. I might as well watch. I quite enjoyed certain aspects of the show. The show, there were certain Toni Storm and I'm going to butcher her name, Io Shirai.
Something like that. Yeah, don't ask me. I would butcher it too.
I thought they had a good match. I thought both of them had a good showing. I think both of them will do well in NXT. I really, 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 really enjoyed Becky versus Charlotte.
I heard that was fantastic.
That was a fun 30 minutes. If there's any match, Mo, that I'd recommend for you to watch, it would be that one. That was... by and large, the way it was built and the structure, you know the results for it, I take it.
Of course, yeah.
just the way they built it, I was freaking at the end. I'm being like, this is like Roman Reigns all over again. Charlotte just keeps getting back up, and this should have ended her. Like, she's winning. There's no way Becky's winning. And then Becky won. And I was really happy that Becky won. And the way Becky won, too, wasn't a dastardly heel. It was a straight up caught Charlotte and beat her.
Yeah.
It was a great spot. And I was like, yes, this is what I wanted. And that to me was something that I was like, this is fun. This is when I enjoy wrestling, is when it's, and it was a half hour match, but it didn't feel like a half hour match. And it's funny because you talk about it. That was almost as much wrestling on Monday Night Raw as what Becky and Charlotte went through in the last minute.
And it was more quality wrestling.
Yeah.
You actually had more good wrestling in that one match than you had all of Monday Night Raw in over 3 hours.
That's terrifying because you've got some tremendous talent. You have some.
Oh, it's nothing. And again, it's the booking. The other thing, though, and I'll tell you the reason I didn't watch it. Like I said, I want them to succeed. I don't want WWE to succeed because I don't, for so many billions of reasons at this point. And the reason why is because they're a corporation and they are trying to change the narrative. And I will not let them change the narrative. And that means that this thing is done to take the heat off of Saudi, where the women can't be. That means that they're talking about how revolutionary this is, when the truth is I saw the Jumping Bomb Angels tear down the house in Survivor Series 1987 in WWF. Corporations, all corporations, the one I work for has people that scour the internet for media and for negative things they say. And one time somebody I know was interviewed and talked about how he had lost his apartment in a flood, and they found out where he worked, and he almost lost his job for that. That's how serious corporations, to me, they want to control everything, control the narrative, and that includes the WWE. I refuse to let – don't. The WWE doesn't give a shit about you, Joel. They don't care about me. They don't care about their fans. You want to know why? The fans, when the crown jewel is mentioned, boo, and they still go. They don't care about you. You're marks to them. You're money marks to them. That's all they are. That's all they see you as. Not the locker room, but the company. That's all they see you as. I'm not going to let them control the narrative to me.
No, and I think that's absolutely why you have something like a podcast. Because then, and having stuff like Dave Meltzer is important, because then it's documented. That's I remember reading Brett's book and him calling Dave Meltzer, and Meltzer being a little surprised that he called, and it being like, I don't want them to change the narrative. I want to control the narrative and tell.
They tried goddamn hard with Bret Hart to change that narrative,
and it didn't work. Especially because at that time the internet was just starting to blossom, and having that stuff out there, and people are going to be interested in the Montreal Screwjob. And I think a lot of wrestling fans go to someone like Dave Meltzer to get what happened.
Absolutely.
And I think that is why they don't like Dave Meltzer, because then if there wasn't a guy like Dave Meltzer around, then suddenly a lot of things that happen aren't documented anymore. And you go, hey, I wonder if this happened. And you try to look it up. Oh, here's WWE's version of the event. So that must be what happened.
All the this woman's evolution from the beginning. It was AJ Styles during a shitty match saying, or not AJ Styles, AJ Lee during a shitty match saying, give women a chance. And now it's been turned into, this is something Stephanie came up with.
Oh, right? Yeah, because I remember that. I remember reading that Stephanie was furious and Vince told her, you cannot retaliate. Yes. You cannot do anything.
And now she's the mastermind behind it, and it was all part of, and it was the Bellas and all these other, they've changed the narrative already. Don't let them do it to you.
Oh no, and
don't watch that 24/7 or whatever it is that they put on about the woman's evolution, the lead up to the women's world and all this shit, and let them do it to you. Because they will every time. And we can't let them do that. And that's why I'm not watching something like the Women's Evolution, as much as I respect. And there's so many women, Naomi and Asuka and Ember Moon and Ronda and Becky and Sasha. And like, I respect so many of these women, but I don't respect this company, and I'm not going to let them do that to me.
Yeah. Well, because it's funny because you mentioned that, and then you look at like reading some of the stuff that the Bella twins have come out and said, specifically Nikki Bella, and her talking about how she wants AJ Lee to come back. And I'm like, there's no
chance.
Fathomable way you want AJ Lee back. You're saying that because you know there is no way she's going to come back and do anything, especially after the book that
hell, they didn't want Maria coming back to take their spot.
So it's just another example of just I read certain things and I just brush it off. I'm like, this is wrong. This isn't what happened. I'm going to carry on with my day because it's just pointless to there are several points where WWE will try to alter and change stories. It's like when Hogan talks about when he slammed Andre, and it just gets more and more exaggerated. The more and more Hogan says, the more and more I ignore it because I just don't care.
Yes. Yeah.
Shifting gears a little bit. Apparently Brian and AJ's match was absolutely great. So
I'm sure it was. I'm sure it was really great that they did it on SmackDown, which you know will have drawn nowhere near the viewers that should have.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm
interested.
Improper
build. Hopefully, it just leads to them doing it at Mania, because that's one thing I was trying to figure out. I can't picture either. I have no idea where either brand is going for Mania. So
it's that is the one thing that I am intrigued by, and especially someone that
very I like well following could. Wrestling. I just don't want to watch these guys.
As someone that could very well be at his first ever WrestleMania, I have no idea what the main event. I think the main event's going to be Charlotte and Ronda, but that could be that may not happen. So I'm not entirely sure. So that is the one thing that I am interested. That'd be cool. Going into Mania, I was set on Roman being in the main event. I'm like, this will be perfectly
fine.
Even
then, though, I had no idea who he was going to face. No clue.
I had a feeling it was going to be a triple threat with the Shield. But then I was like, Roman's going to be in that main event, and that's perfectly okay, because I will go in, I will watch it, and I will enjoy it, and I will take it, I will soak in everything about being at WrestleMania for the first time. Now everything's kind of wide open, and it's going to be very interesting where everything lands. This kind of shifts. I've got two questions for you, Mo. Me and Josh had a conversation last week on the Roman Reigns situation. Now that it's been more than a week where it's been announced and everything, and there's a few little bit more tidbits about the Reigns thing, what do you think of the Roman Reigns situation, as well as who is the guy to replace Roman? Because I want to make it very clear. Roman Reigns is gone for at least a minimum, and this is a generous minimum of 2 years, because even if he beats it in a year's time, his body is going to be wrecked from chemo, and he's going to need time to recover to get back into ring shape, and you don't even know how that recovery is going to go. So I say,
and there are people out there who are saying they think he can be back in less than a year. There are people out there saying that it looks like they believe, from what they understand, the type of leukemia he has. For me, I'm just going, I don't give a shit, I just hope he survives.
Yeah.
I don't care if he ever wrestles again. I just hope he and his family are okay. It's all I care about.
Yeah.
And so, you know. I mean, Ronda is the face of the company. We've all seen that. As far as the male side, it's Strowman. It could be Rollins. I think ultimately your guy is like I thought even before Roman left, the guy I thought they should replace him with Drew McIntyre.
Yeah,
like he wasn't pushed to the top despite not being ready. I mean, he was pushed to the top and not being ready, but they stopped. They didn't keep it years ago. So the fans respect him. They respect the fact that he went to the indies. He's really good. He's got the right look. He can talk. He's got everything right. And like I say, the fact that he became that underdog, and the fact that he's got indie darling status, and yet still has all the stuff that Vince wants.
Yeah, it's the perfect combination. I absolutely agree. If there's anyone I'm going to pick, it's Drew McIntyre right now. I love Seth. I like Braun. There's probably a few other guys out there that I really do enjoy.
Limited though. Like I like Braun's act, but I there's not a match I'm interested in seeing with Braun. I'm like, oh
No.
man, I can't wait to watch that. That's gonna be another great match. Like
He's.
it just isn't there. And that's part of being a champion in 2018.
Yep. You have to be able to draw in for matchups. And I think that's why a guy like Drew McIntyre, because I'd love to see Drew versus Seth again for the title. I'd love to see Drew versus Dean Ambrose. I'd love to see Drew versus anyone, basically, because I
Drew
love.
he's got so many fresh matchups. Drew versus Dolph will be interesting. You
Yep.
know?
Because you know how Dolph sells and how Dolph reacts as being a smaller guy. So
Yeah.
it would be fun and enjoyable. I absolutely love what Drew brings to the table.
There's nothing like there's a lot of talented guys that I love in the roster, a lot of talented guys in NXT. But as far as the guy that's like just perfect for everybody, like I can't picture anybody going, I just don't see it in Drew. Like who would say that?
Yeah. Apparently the other name that WWE was bouncing around was Ricochet. I love Ricochet, but from a size standpoint, I don't see Vince getting behind him. And all it takes is one knee injury or any injury in general that is akin to something like Rey Mysterio or Evan Bourne, and I just can't see it.
Well, or let's just how about his shoulder like Finn? Vince loves Finn. He actually loves him, but he doesn't think he's as over as he needs to be or big enough. But he
Yep.
loves him. He loves his work. He loves his act. Ricochet is not a good talker. Really not
That's
a
the
good
other
talker.
thing.
That's probably why I don't see that happening.
Yeah. And that's where you give another nod to Drew McIntyre.
Yeah.
There's another name I want to throw out, and I don't want to say that I think he's a guy that maybe could do it, but I don't know how it would play out in WWE, but I'd like to throw out a name like Cody Rhodes. I think he's got a
Well,
good
yeah.
look. I think he can talk. I just don't know how Vince would feel about him, and
Well,
I don't
number
know
one,
what
it's I
he
don't see
wants
it
to do.
happening in the WWE. Like I'm sure we'll get there. But you're right. Like if he came back, I think he would have a shot at going right to the top. I think Vince would. I think he's changed enough and carries himself enough. And yeah, I think Vince could see it now. But when Dusty died, I would have put the belt on him. It was time. There was a storyline to be told, even if it's only as a transitional champion. And they just saw him as
Stardust.
Stardust, and that stink is tough to get off once it's on there with Vince.
Yep. See, and that's the thing, and that's why I think Cody has the intent, the quality that you can use to being a guy that can be a face of your company, because you saw the PR he did for All In, and he was a likable guy for that whole PR run up his YouTube series talking about leading into his match for the NWA title. And just his overall hyping up the show and just the way he behaves. And he can be a complete asshole. We've seen it in being the Elite. We've seen it
Yeah.
in Ring of Honor. He can play both those roles. So having that duality of being able to do both is invaluable. And I think he's got a good look. And I
And
think
there's
branding.
another name. Go ahead, but there's another name.
The other key that I think adds to his act, and I think WWE would have to bring it in as well to help make it all work and really sell it, is Brandy. I think Brandy's become a very big part of Cody Rhodes, and I think you bring in the American Nightmare with Brandy, and I think you've got something that you could run with. But again, as you said, there's that Stardust stink, as well as you just don't know. Maybe Cody wants to run his own company, like you had suggested. So. We don't know. Who's the other name, Mo?
And as somebody not in WWE, and I've never understood why he's not in WWE. And I think over the last 3 months, we have to question more than ever why the hell he's not in WWE, because he also checks every single box that Drew McIntyre checks. Some of them he checks even more so, some less, but he checks them all. And that's Nick Aldis.
Yeah.
That Nick Aldis is very, very marketable. He's you know, his wife works there, Mickey James. He's tall. He's good looking. He can talk. He can wrestle. He's got the indie cred. You know, you could send him to NXT for 6 months and Vince will want him up and he'd be huge.
That's actually a very good name.
I've never understood why he isn't there. I really didn't get it.
I wonder if that's just a personal choice.
No, no, no. They had no interest in him. I think it was just he was a TNA original and they were pretty skeptical. But since then, we've seen a few TNA originals go over there and succeed. So, yeah, that's the other one. As soon as you started talking about Cody, I thought, and you started talking about his you know, the buildup on YouTube and everything. I thought, well, shit, you know who matched him step for step?
It was Aldis.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I really like that.
When Nick Aldis did color commentary even recently for, you know, a match on Ring of Honor, he was freaking fantastic. Yeah.
This is the one thing about right now, and this sucks. In an ideal world, we wouldn't be having this conversation, and it would be about Roman still with the title. But it's not.
But we would still be sitting there going, oh, he's never going to be a babyface. Yeah. They're going to push him down our throats. So.
Yeah, I like to operate under the positive mentality when it comes to Roman, and I believe he'll be back. And the reaction that he'll have is going to be tremendous. I just think of the videos with his family that we've seen over the years, with his daughter and with his wife and with his family. And I'm very hopeful that I hope to God that WWE is helping foot the bill for his recovery and just helping support his family through all of this.
Because... Yeah, I don't know. I can tell you this. He'll certainly be getting a large cut of, even without them helping, he'll be like getting a large cut of merchandise and that type of thing for the next while.
Yeah, which is good. Which is, because I like him to fight this as best he can, and I want him to come back. And, you know, it'll be very interesting because now
it's so funny. I don't know why. If they had told this part of his story before, maybe he didn't want it told.
He didn't.
But if they had told this part of his story and if they had convinced him, he could have been what they wanted all along. That's the irony.
That is, because now when Roman comes back or when Roman appears, it's that if Roman comes back, and hopefully he does, because I'd love for him to be healthy enough to be able to come back.
I hope so too, but I suspect he'll never wrestle at least regularly again. Like that's my suspicion. Maybe he'll be able to do a one-off match in the right situation or something, but I just don't think no.
You don't think he'll ever be able to perform at that high of a level again?
I another thing is I don't think we'll ever be at the point where we're thinking it's not coming back again soon.
That is true.
This is something he'll be fighting forever, even if he beats it this time, most likely. That's the scary thing. I'm not thinking we're going to see him wrestle again, personally. I hope so, but I'm not thinking.
That's the reality of the situation. That's absolutely something to take a look at. Anyone that's saying...
Why the whole thing with Dean Ambrose, I think, was just really done wrong. I think you could have gotten the same amount of heat with good storytelling, building into that, still having that as part of the storyline, but not doing it at that moment in time. I think you create more company heat than you do individual heat, and I think that's one of the things that's happened. And from what I understand from the show last night, he didn't seem to be all that over as a heel.
It's going to be interesting to see, because that you definitely got the feeling with the crowd when that happened, because I was watching that live when that happened, and as it happened, my jaw hit the floor. Because just before it happened,
so did Renee's.
I did not. I said to myself, there is no way Dean's turning now. And then what does he do? He hits Seth, and I'm just floored. I'm floored the whole way through. and this whole thing's happening, and you can see that the crowd's not sure how to react, and I think the crowd still's not sure how to react. So it's going to be interesting to see how this goes and what long-term how this plays out, because that's the big thing is you can talk about the little moments and things that happen. I'm interested in the long-term and how this stuff plays out and how does this work? Was this the right call? I mean, I can't see them doing something like this without at least running it by Roman, just what Roman meant to them.
I don't know. Maybe not. But either way, it's not about, you know what? It's partially about Roman. I can't say it's not about Roman. I mean, obviously he's going through it, but it's also about the crowd and his fans at that point.
Yeah. There's, I think just that was a very emotionally taxing Raw.
No.
And then racing home to watch it and then just seeing how everything played out at the end. It's like, holy crap.
Somehow the thing that it reminded me of is Randy Orton telling Ray Eddie's in hell. It's lowest common denominator booking. It's cheap heat.
I don't know. I'm a little bit meh on it. I can't say I'm surprised that WWE did it, because I mean, we shouldn't be shocked. I mean, you bring up a good point of what WWE has done in the past. I'm still grappling with it as whether this was a good decision or a bad decision from a company standpoint. And that's why long term I want to see how this plays out, because if it works out and two guys are over and two guys are building,
but it could have worked out 2 months from now just as effectively. It could have gotten just as much heat. That's the problem with it. It's not that you shouldn't turn him. It's that you didn't have to do it then.
You could have done it. Do you think it could have lost any of its spark?
No.
No, you don't.
No, I think if you have good storytelling and booking, it could have had even more.
Yeah, my only
without it being so fresh that it cut.
Yeah, I think that was their main objective, was it being fresh, and then wanting to capitalize on it.
And that's the problem.
Yeah, this WWE, like, there are moments where I really, 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 really enjoy certain aspects of it, like NXT.
Do a podcast, you got to have some passion.
Yeah, but there are certain facets of it that are just, it's such murky waters with this company at times that it's hard to sit there and justify their choices at times.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know, man. It's going to be, I certainly hope that Seth and Dean can get some heat and momentum going for this feud, because I like both guys and I want to see them do well. And I'd like to see this feud work out.
I would like to see this give Dean Ambrose a kick in the ass so he's not a lazy fuck.
Because frankly, he
gets so lazy in that ring, and he's a talented guy. And I think he's been booked poorly and could have been a much bigger star. But he gets so lazy and lackadaisical in the ring. Hopefully this gives him that kick.
I think so.
Because even since he came back, I've seen it. And I'm not really watching the product that much, but I've seen it even since he comes back. The times where he already just seems to be phoning it in the ring.
It's interesting because it's one of those things that you just can naturally, when you watch wrestling long enough, you can kind of tell when guys just aren't giving it their all. And I think that's important. That's why I think like a guy like Seth is the crowd likes Seth.
Or Daniel Bryan, right?
Yeah, they will give it their all, and it doesn't matter if it's a, because I will read read comments about, oh, I can't believe they gave away this match on free TV. But when you look from a wrestler's perspective, it's like, well, I'm wrestling on free TV, and more people are going to see me do my thing, and I'm going to go out and have a good match, and it doesn't matter if it's free TV or if it's on pay-per-view, I'm going to go out and kill it. And those are the guys that you gravitate towards more. I think that's why guys like the Elite had such a strong fan base is because I think these were guys that would go out and bust their ass night in and night out, and not just bust their asses in that ring, but working on
more than busting your ass and having great matches. I think gets you over more than gimmick or talking or push even in this day and age.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think that's you hear more and more the popular guys. You look at who would you say are the top three most popular wrestlers? Doesn't matter the company in the world right now.
In the world, most popular?
Yeah.
Now Roman Reigns. I mean, the Young Bucks have got to be the most popular and loved for a long time. Yeah, AJ. I would definitely say AJ. AJ, but let's say CM Punk probably still, for Christ's sakes, you know?
I mean, all those guys would go out there and work. They busted their asses and they worked. And I think that's valuable to have. And that's, like, right now, spoiler, I have the Flames game on a small little screen. And I'm watching the Flames. And the one thing I've always said is whenever they have guys for the roster, whenever they talk about bringing in a new guy, whether it's a draftee or it's a player, I'm like, is this guy going to give it his all night in and night out?
Yeah.
And I'm not talking like playing and sacrificing it all, because as we've learned, when guys play and sacrifice it all, they concussions and just general not good for their health. But is this going to be a guy that's going to go out there and just doesn't matter if he's a little banged up, but he's going to still try, like Matthew Tkachuk. He's going to go out there and try every night. And that is the same thing goes for wrestling. You want guys out there that are going to go out there and give it their all and be like, you know what? I'm not going to phone it in. I'm going to go out there and we're going to do this and this, and this is going to get the crowd reaction. And this is a cool spot that I thought of. That's what I like about wrestling is when you have stuff like that, where it's like guys going out there and giving it their all.
Well, Marty Scurll is incredibly loved, you know, and incredibly lovable. And it's not because and that's it, right? Like, there's a sense that he's genuine, that he loves wrestling, that he tries his best for you. Like, you know, he can't even be a heel, even though he's the villain, Marty's girl.
Marty is one guy that, from being the Elite and just what he does in... I remember seeing vignettes from Marty, because I hadn't heard a lot about Marty until he signed with ROH. But when I saw those villain vignettes, I was like, oh, this is really interesting. I'm really interested in this guy. And then as time has gone, Marty's one of my favorite parts of being the Elite and just the Elite in general. Whenever he's in a match, I'm like, okay, what's Marty going to do tonight? And the one thing that I like about him, you see just, I believe it was before Wrestle Kingdom, it was a picture Cody posted of him sitting there working on his wings by himself for his entrance. And it's little things like that that tell me this guy cares. This matters to him. He's not just a paycheck. This is more to him. This is something that he's passionate and he cares about. And speaking of the Elite, you had mentioned you had some thoughts on them. So
Cody's saying, obviously there's the Jericho Cruise going on, and the news hasn't filtered out of that quite the way I'm sure it will over the next week or two. Cody has said he's not going to be – he said he's leaving to a new role in the industry. So a lot of people thought that meant WWE, but I thought immediately it doesn't. He said he's definitely not going to be at the Madison Square Garden show. More people speculated that meant WWE. I think it doesn't. And then it came out from Meltzer saying that he wants to do All In 2. That's what he really wants to do. And it's like, I think that this is, you know, even Meltzer was talking about, well, how's it going to work? And it's one thing to do one show, but you don't have TV. And you know what? You're going to be at the point where you can put something on YouTube and get 3 million viewers, and you put something on TV and get 1 million.
Yep, so absolutely.
You don't. So this is the old way of thinking that a guy like, even a guy like Meltzer, who knows way more about wrestling than me and tries to stay, tied in, you still kind of come at these things from an old school wrestling mentality because that's what you grew up in. And you don't need television the way you did even 5 years ago. And I think we've seen that. And I think what Cody talked about, wrestlers banding together as well. And everybody, pardon me?
A union. I saw rumblings of that from them in the box.
Yes, a union is kind of what people thought about. And I thought, yeah, union's part of it. But I think that it's more just a wrestling company by wrestlers for wrestlers. I think that's more what it is. And then the union is, you know, they would do that if they can. But I don't think it's, oh, I want to go to the WWE and form a union, because forming a union outside of the WWE means something, but not as much as it should. Now, if they had television and made sure everybody on television got, you know, a SAG membership, a Screen Actors Guild, then that would really force the WWE's hand, I think. But, I really think that this is what the idea is. We've never seen that. Like, we've seen wrestlers start promotions, but it's to make a living, and it's to keep yourself on top, you know, Jeff Jarrett's and these guys, right? And I think Cody's is thinking, no, more like it's a wrestling company and a wrestling for the wrestlers, by the wrestlers, for the fans, by wrestlers that are fans. And it's a different mindset. And I think it's a more altruistic mindset, more philanthropic, more liberal mindset, more that base. And I think a lot of people that even are in the WWE, this would appeal to them, you know, even if they made less money, because they feel like they talk about changing the world. I think this is how they're thinking. This is how we change the world. Not with New Japan, because New Japan is still a company. We only have so much control. And not with ROH, and not with WWE. It's time. The time is finally there. It's never been like this before. And I kind of think that's what is going to happen. Can they make a go of it? I think it's possible. Will they, you know, it's, I wouldn't say it's impossible to, I don't, that doesn't mean they will, but it does. I think there's a shot that you could do this and do like once a month or twice a month shows and put them just on YouTube, stream them all on YouTube and make money doing that and do something for the fans and the wrestlers and change the business and force the WWE to make changes as well. Yeah, I think it's possible.
You know, when you mentioned going on YouTube, the first thing I think about is, it's kind of weird, but I think of Cobra Kai. And I think of the YouTube premium. Mm-hmm. If you think about it, if you could get YouTube money behind it and put that on that YouTube premium, whatever it's called, is it YouTube?
It's called YouTube Premium now. It used to be called YouTube Red.
Yeah, but the red was what premium popped into my head, but I wasn't sure if that was the current name.
It's YouTube Premium now, yeah.
If you could put it on there, and I mean, you've seen it where you can do low budget costs for a production of a weekly or bi-monthly show, I think that absolutely is something you could get on, and that's new content every 2 weeks that you can do with these guys, have pay-per-views, and have it set where YouTube has most of their streaming stuff figured out. So really and truly, you don't have to worry about having a on-demand service or having something like a New Japan or Ring of Honor for your streaming service. You just use YouTube. And you absolutely upload the episodes or you have them live. I mean,
absolutely.
One of the old companies I used to work for would stream live events on YouTube. And that was their source, and that worked out more times than not. I mean, it was a smaller company, mind you, so sometimes we had hiccups. But if you had a company like Google and YouTube behind you, then I think that's a great spot.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's new content, and that's a sporting event, so it's easier to fill in advertisers for that program. And I think it means that no one has to worry about you don't have to worry about having, and you can have a YouTube page for companies that countries that might not get YouTube Premium, that you can have access to that content.
Oh, there's still ways to work around that. And YouTube Premium, even though it's not everywhere yet, it's getting more. And, yeah.
So
you know,
that to me could be the best avenue, because then your product's out there. And all you have to do is just have a fail-safe. If something happens where things don't work out, where you can find another, because these streaming services and these file sharing sites and this YouTube video site, there are other places that you can go to do stuff. Probably tons not making as much. Pardon?
Tons of places. But all of a sudden the rustlers are selling their shirts. Say they're doing Cody Rhodes is doing a thing. And you know, Juice Robinson is selling a shirt on there. They're not taking anything. Yeah. The company gets it all. Yeah. Right?
For wrestling, it becomes a bigger deal.
Yes. Yeah. The wrestlers get it all because they're making their money running. They're selling their own shirts. Cody is, and they're making money doing other things, so that they don't have to take a percentage of the shirt like WWE does. Things like that, where it's for the wrestlers, and it, like I say, it's almost more of a socialism point of view. But I think that's what he's thinking, and I think that's possible. I think that would be so good because the company right now, so things like independent contractors and people not having medical benefits and all the stuff that you'll never get in the WWE, and the WWE is, you know, only so good to its wrestlers, and it's really good only so good to the people at the top. That could change. I think that's how, like I say, I think that that's more. I think that's that would be a much better legacy than being NWA champion or WWE champion or anything, right? Doing something like this, and I think that's kind of like even New Japan's not going to do this.
No. And I think, like, you've seen it. The reason the Elite was formed was because New Japan had the copyright for Bullet Club. So it means that New Japan makes all that money. And they're
not going to make any more Bullet Club shirts with the Young Bucks. Why? Because they're going to do their own thing and make all the money and not give a portion to Japan.
Yeah. And I mean, the other big thing with that is when their Puff figures came out, they had said on the Jericho podcast that they really hoped that it didn't have – that it had the Elite logos and not the Bullet Club logos. And I've got the Pop figures here, and guess what logo they have on it?
Yeah.
Bullet Club. So that – and that tells you right then and there where that stands. And to me, that means that they don't have to worry about that anymore. And that's why the Elite was created, was for a way to circumvent that and make money. And now this could be their way of making more money, wrestling their friends, and helping get different guys on shows that you otherwise wouldn't have seen. There was one of the guys that they had for the opening match, that MFJ or MJF. Mm-hmm. I'd never seen him wrestle, and I wasn't big on him afterwards, but I got to see him at least. So that matters, because that's a guy getting a chance.
Exactly. And
that's something that's different for
no glass ceiling, no promoters and hitting agenda, politics thrown out the window to a large degree. Like I say, taking the business back to the people that deserve it, which right now is the wrestlers and the fans. I think we're at an age and a stage where done right and understanding your market. Like we were talking last time I was on about there's some backlash to the Elite right now. Trust me, all that would go away. Like I said, and there would be wrestlers who would want to come and work for them like that. And if they went to the WWE, I don't even think it would kill the independents and New Japan are already people think that it would. Because I think people would just go, fuck you. You're trying to take away from me what I love. And I'm going to support the independents even more. But if they did something like this, like the fans, this is where the money would go. It wouldn't have as many fans as WWE, but this is where all the fans, all the hardcore fans' money would go. And it's frankly the hardcore money's fans, not the casuals that WWE makes its living on in a lot of ways.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you bring a lot of good points, and I get excited thinking about this. No way is this confirmed.
But if this happened, you would be excited. More excited than anything WWE is doing. You would want to give these guys money. More than you want to give WWE. Right away.
Absolutely.
And that's the point, is that this is there now.
I
This is the time. This
I
is the,
cer-
it's actually ta- it's, this is the time.
Oh, absolutely. I circle
Which is
around.
Why when I say 2 years from now, it's going to be so different. Who can even sense? Who can even
Oh, yeah.
sense? Who cares about that Fox money? Fox is going to cancel them. Trust me, they're not going to have the ratings.
That's going to be a very interesting thing and see how that plays out, especially with Fox. But I mean, I go on Pro Wrestling Tees and I'll surf through and I'll look at the shirts and be like, oh, I want that and I want that and I want that. And I know that by buying that shirt and that shirt and that shirt, I'm supporting this guy and this guy and this girl. And that matters.
I've talked about this with Brett, the co-host of We Talk Comics with me, and a bunch of other stuff on the website. And we talk about going to like a comic show, and there being a book that we wouldn't buy at a comic book shop that we'll buy though from a guy at a table because we're giving the money directly to the creator, and that means more to us. And knowing and seeing that he gets it all. And that type of mindset is out there, and that this is a shift in the mindset of wrestlers. There's a, like I say, more liberal point of view coming at the younger crowd. The WWE's crowd is averaging like the age of 50. The Elite's crowd is much younger, you know, and yeah, and this is why, again, when people say WWE's forever and they'll always be number one, I'm like, I think you're still thinking in an old school way. Being number one 10 years from now will not be the same. Not having the most viewers won't necessarily make you number one.
Yep. You're absolutely right. I do apologize, but we did put a time limit on this.
Yeah, and I really have to run personally, which is too bad. Yeah. But I think I got it all off my chest.
Yeah. No, I always enjoy hearing from you. So this is a lot to think about. Hopefully, though, we can carry on these conversations. And as we get closer to that January 4th day, we're going to see where everything's going. And I'm really excited what the future holds for wrestling, because I think that there are dark facets to it and there's some tough times with certain things, I do think that there can potentially be a bright future. And I think
we're ending on a positive note talking about what Cody could be doing and the Bucks and you know, and Omega and these guys, like, this is a positive thing. This makes me feel good.
This makes me excited, and thinking about it and thinking about what they could do, it could be a game changer.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Mo, thank you for coming on. It's always a good
like
time.
I say, I would love to hear people's feedback on this. I'd love to know if they like the show, but I'd also love to know if they think we're full of shit, or, you know, if they don't see that for the Cody or anything. Like, I'd love them to tell me at Mo_ We Talk on Twitter or on the We Talk podcast website in the comment section or something. I'd love that. So hopefully some people will do that. And I'm just going to upload something for you. This is just for a little conversation that you and I had earlier, just into the messages on this Skype conversation as we end. And I'll let you go off the air.
That is a great way to end it. And that I get a good chuckle out of that. So Mo, thank you for coming on, and please comment and let us know what you thought. From Mo, I'm Joel. Make sure you check everything out at WeTalk. There's a lot of good content on there. So we will be back again to talk more wrestling very soon.